Hey everybody, welcome to the Intentionally Followed podcast. Before we get started, just gotta let you know there's some technical difficulties that we had with Cam's microphone. Hopefully it's not too much of a nuisance, but we'll get it all set up and ready to go for the next episode. But until then, we appreciate the support from all you guys and enjoy this episode.
I will tell you though, after his game in the Superdome, I mean, everyone was watching that game just because it was the rematch. Yeah. Like, I think some respect was put on his name after that one.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. Welcome back to the Intentionally Followed podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Today we got a lot of great topics to talk about, including the MLB returning, the NBA returning, and some players who never won championships, as great as they were. How's it going, Jacob?
It's going good. It's my off day, so I've been doing some dishes, some cleaning around the house. That's about it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I had an on day today. It's pretty busy, but just glad to be doing this podcast right now, of course. Yeah. So, a lot of returning going on in sports, MLB, NHL, NBA. As much as we'd like to talk about all those, the NHL kind of just started up, not enough to talk about at this point, but we've seen a decent amount of action from the NBA, especially from the MLB. A lot of good teams to watch, but a lot of concerns also with COVID coming back. The NBA has been fine, but the MLB is a little concerning.
Yeah, honestly, right now, like, we'll get to it towards the end, but like, I don't know if it's gonna last.
I heard a report today that 7 Cardinals players at it.
Yeah. And they postponed a whole 4-game series with the Tigers.
Yeah, so you have that getting postponed, and then you have Philly's staff with coronavirus, and then you have the Marlins staff, the one who started it all, and it's not looking good at all because that affects so many teams. I mean, even if the teams weren't really going to do much this year, those are still games that could come out as, you know, wins or losses and really make or break a team making the playoffs. I mean, baseball playoffs, sometimes wild card teams can go pretty far.
Yeah. And especially with only 66 games or 60 games, every game will matter.
Yeah. If I had a bet on it right now, I'd say the season's probably going to end within a couple weeks or so.
Yeah, I would agree. 100%. I mean, right now, the Yankees have the best record. They've been on a 6-game win streak, 7-1. Twins are 7-2, and the Cubs are 7-2.
Right.
Kind of exactly how we predicted.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say things are working out pretty predictable. The Astros are not doing so great right now. I know we said they could kind of be playing with a vengeance, but I think it's either the whole sign-stealing thing actually did matter a lot to them, and that's why they're not playing as well, or they just have such a target on their back that people are really trying to beat them as bad as they can because everyone in baseball is pissed at them right now.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's definitely a combination of both, but they've been pretty shitty. I mean, what, Springer, Bregman, and Altuve went 0-21 in the Dodgers series?
Yeah, and at first I was like, okay, look, they did well in the Mariners series because, the Astros did, not those guys especially, but because all their batting averages are below 18% right now, which is not what you'd expect. And the Mariners series, I was like, whatever, Mariners only won 42% of their games last year. Let's see how they do against a good team like the Dodgers that shit the bed. And then Verlander's out for a little bit. That hurts them a lot. But, I mean, it is just one pitcher.
Well, I mean, he's arguably one of the best pitchers in the league right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think it helps with him. It doesn't help with him out. But even if with him back, it will make a positive difference. But, I mean, the batting is still not going to be any better.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's true.
You know, so I'd be worried there, the Astros. And then now they're playing the Angels, who they split 1-1 at this point of this recording. And the big three are still batting horribly, even though they won against the Angels yesterday by 1. But it was really like a late game push. Could have gone either way. Same with the first game, though. So I got to see them play like kind of a mediocre team to really get a full assessment of how they're going to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Angels right now aren't necessarily the best team either.
No, no one expected the Angels to do much. So they've had such a wide range. You know, they're playing horrible teams. They're playing great teams, and we just haven't seen the in-between. Mm-hmm. I think the Astros will probably make the playoffs, but are they going to win, you know, the AL? I don't think that's going to happen, really.
Yeah, speaking of the Astros and the Dodgers series, we got to talk about Joe Kelly.
Yeah, Joe Kelly, ex-Red Sox player.
My big thing is, why did he get suspended, but no Astros players from the sign-calling thing got suspended?
This commissioner's fucking trash.
Dude, I swear to God, he's honestly the worst commissioner in all major sports.
The worst commissioner I think I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, right now they have, like, they've been postponing games, like, literally 10 minutes before the first pitch. Or they do it, like, 5 hours. Like, there's not consistency when it comes to the commissioner.
Never. With Manfred, it doesn't make sense because I think that with the whole Astros punishment, there should have been some suspension there. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, you know. And so Astros fans are still bitching at the guy because they don't even think that they should have lost the draft pick. So you have Astros fans saying that he's being too hard. And then, you have non-Astros fans saying he's being too hard, too. It's just like everyone hates the guy. I don't really know anyone who's on the same page as him.
Yeah. I don't think anybody likes him.
No. What's the likelihood of him getting replaced some way? Like, is there any way to, like, speed that up? Like, what needs to happen for a commissioner to be changed?
Not in the Major League Baseball. I have no idea.
Well, that shit needs to happen pretty soon because he's horrible. The Twins, though, you made a great prediction with that. I think they're a hot team right now. Mm-hmm. Them and the Rockies kind of came out of nowhere. Like, they really surprised me. I had a feeling they'd be all right, but they're looking pretty damn good.
Yeah, the Twins are undefeated in their baby blue uniforms. I'm pretty sure that the team's pitching rotation is off the chain. It's like their ERA is, I think it's less than one. Which is crazy. Even in six games, like, they're on fire. Like, nobody is getting anywhere near defeating them.
Yeah, they're great. They're great this year. And with the Sox, things were looking horrible for a hot second, especially, like, in the middle of the whole Mets series. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've split the Mets series, and then the Orioles won. I mean, that didn't even get finished. The game got postponed to later. But the Yankees won. I'm not even surprised that it's going as bad as it is because the Yankees are the shit this year. And last night was pretty close, so that gives me some hope that if they keep playing bad teams, they can split some series, maybe win like one or so during a series with a mediocre team. What all I want from the Sox at this point, I'd be surprised if they made the playoffs, of course, but I don't want them to end up with the worst regular season record ever. And just be known as that. I know that's like really extreme, but as long as that doesn't happen, and as long as they get good picks for next year to build on, you know, because we were going to be worse without Mookie anyway. And it was a disappointing season last year. So it's really just about investing at this point. You just got to do it smart, but not do it in a way where it's like you're humiliating your whole franchise.
Yeah. Mookie's been playing pretty well for the Dodgers. He just has a little finger injury that's like day by day, but I'm pretty sure on his first at bat, he hit a dinger.
Yeah, he was huge in the Astros series, too. He made some big hits. I think the Dodgers, man, they're destined for some great shit this year.
Yeah, did you hear about Yoenis Cespedes? So the New York Mets player, right in the middle of a game, like, everyone was calling him, the manager was calling, like, his team hotel and stuff like that, and nobody was getting back to him. They tried calling his agent, nobody got back to him. And then it turns out, he opts out of the season. Pulls a whole Vontae Davis, just like he did last year in the NFL. Halfway through the game, opts out. Doesn't even attend the game.
Wow, that's, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'd never heard anything like that before.
It's so bad, oh my god. Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be a new thing for people opting out, you know? I mean, who knows if it's because he's sick of being on the Mets or just because of COVID.
Yeah, he's had some injuries in the past, so it's just been a huge, like, I don't know, disgrace, like, him on the Mets. Like, they haven't really been good with him, and he's been super injury-prone.
Yeah.
So.
Well, damn, I bet some Mets fans are probably just like, whatever, we don't like you anyway.
Yeah. So do you think that the MLB is going to get shut down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's just a matter of when, because we keep seeing teams get diagnosed with COVID, some players and some staff. Mm. And it's not like it's slowing down. Like the Marlins, they had that news break out not even that long ago. And then since then, we've seen two other teams have news of players and staff having COVID. So at this rate and at this trend going on right now, I don't see it, you know, just stopping right there. Yeah. I think probably one or two more teams will get it. And then at that point, they're going to say, okay, this is a problem. Too many games are getting moved around. Too many games being postponed. What the hell? And it's only, you know, 60 so games this year. And it's way too different from a regular season at that point to even consider the trophy being legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's different from like the NHL and the NBA where they're like isolated. Like they still travel in the MLB. And they go around to different cities and stuff like that. Obviously, it can spread faster throughout the clubhouse and throughout the league.
Yeah, it's not going to work out that way. You can't really do a bubble with, you know, MLB and NFL. It's not going to, just not going to work. I don't even know too many places where you could hold it for all those people. Mm-hmm. If there even is a facility. Because I'm sure if there was, they'd make the effort to do so.
Yeah,
but, for sure. Yeah, speaking of bubbles, we got to talk about the NBA and how they're finally playing games that actually matter now.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your biggest takeaways from what you've seen?
First of all, Pelicans aren't helping themselves at all. They lost their first two games by the time this episode has been recorded, and they're not helping themselves at all. Like, I saw a tweet the other day, it said, the empty arena got Lonzo's bricks sounding like a 12 gauge. Like, even when they played the Clippers, the virtual fans left. Like, how?
That's so bad, actually. Yeah, yeah. Lonzo has been playing so bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. Zion is not playing because either the Pelicans don't want to make the playoffs and just say, fuck it, let's just start focusing towards next year because it's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zion just is going to get hurt or something. I don't really know what the whole deal is with that, but why is this player that's so good getting only so few minutes?
Yeah. That's always like one of the most confusing things when you're watching the Pelicans. It's like, why? Like, he's the young superstar. Like, he's got all this high potential, but yet you don't want to like play him?
Yeah, that's always my biggest concern with him too, because I shit on the Pelicans for restricting him, but it is a big concern with that guy. I mean, he's had an injury history before, and with his body size, coming back from that and being as good, it's hard because of just all the weight and speed that you could potentially lose from like a major injury or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really take Zion too serious until he is fully available, and not even just fully available, but for like a whole season even, you know? Because there was like a whole group of people who couldn't take Gronk serious because he never played the full 16 games, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's as bad because Gronk was available for most games, but Zion's missed a lot of basketball. Not even just the games, but a lot of potential minutes being played. He could be playing double what he's playing right now, but he's not.
Yeah, what are your takeaways from the Lakers? How do you think they've been playing?
Lakers have been playing like shit, dude.
Yeah. I mean, besides the one game against the Clippers, with some lockdown D and LeBron being clutch, they haven't really been playing that well.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron was fine in that game. I think he could have done a little better, but he did what he needed to do to win, given the situation. But Clippers are missing two six-man of the year candidates in Trez and Lou Will, who, as we all know, snuck out to go look at some booty.
Yeah.
And now he's, now he's suspended. Not even suspended, just quarantine, I guess.
Hey, you gotta get those chicken wings.
Yeah, dude, you gotta get the chicken wings for sure. But I actually forgot why Montrezl Harrell's not even playing, but they'll both be back at some point, right?
Yeah, I think Harrell's gone on like a family emergency or something.
Yeah, yeah. So when they both come back, the Clippers are gonna be better. And like, do the Clippers win in that Lakers game with both them playing? Well, I mean, we'll never know for sure until it happens.
Mm.
But it's pretty likely the outcome would have been different. Anthony Davis has been playing great, or he did in the Clippers game at least. You know, LeBron still hasn't really like popped off yet. He's just kind of been like consistent, getting what you think, but he hasn't had like one of those signature, you know, 35 plus point games with like a triple double.
Yeah.
And total typical playoff stuff. So part of me thinks that he's kind of saving it for when it really, really matters.
Oh, for sure. Because no matter what, they're going to be a top three seed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. They're already locked in there. And I think they will, you know, get through the bottom three seeded teams in the West because it's just, you got the Grizzlies. I'm just making predictions, but the Grizzlies, yeah. The Rockets, and the Mavericks. I don't see any one of them really going seven games and winning against the Lakers or anything like that. So they'll move on. They'll probably meet up with the Clippers and then fully healthy. If so, at that point, we'll see who's the better team. And then as far as the finals go, like I think we've already said this before, but whoever wins the West is probably going to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But, I mean, speaking of the Rockets and the Mavs, did you catch that game the other night? Overtime? I swear at halftime, it was like a full score game. I think it was 75-85 against the Mavs. Mavs were in the lead, and it just went off. Like, Russell, like, doesn't like being filmed at all in the locker room, I guess we can see now. And, yeah, like, Harden and Russ combined for 80 points. Russ had 31, and Harden had 49. And they outdueled Borzingis, who had 39 and 16, and Luka, who had 28, 13, and 10 for a triple-double.
Yeah, it's two of the best offenses in the league right now going at each other, which you knew it was going to be a classic. It was pretty great basketball to watch, except with the final stretch of the game, obviously Seth Curry, of all people, going 1-for-2 on free throws.
Yeah.
You didn't really expect that to happen. And then with that final free throw that Harden took and missed on purpose, why wasn't Boban in the game to grab it?
You know, he's the tallest guy.
Yeah, you could put Porzingis and Boban in there at the same time to box out, and they're both 7 foot plus, and the Rockets are like the small ball team.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd they get that rebound and put it back? It doesn't make any sense. The Mavericks could have sealed it right there, but it was just like a lapse in judgment.
No idea.
So, who knows what's going to happen if they, you know, somehow meet up in the playoffs in the future. I'd love to see a Mavericks-Rockets series.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I feel like that would go to 7.
Oh, yeah, for sure. At least a few overtimes.
Yeah. What do you think, what are you seeing in the Celtics?
Streakiness, just like the regular season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even the Blazers game, dude, they looked amazing for a good chunk of it, and they just blew away the lead, and then and they still won, but just looking so good and then just flipping and doing a complete 180 and playing so bad,
mm-hmm.
That's just typical Celtics shit.
Yeah, I mean, that first game, Tatum went 2-for-18.
So bad. I don't think Tatum plays that bad again, you know, and obviously the Bucks have Bledsoe, which would have helped the Celtics win, but there were a lot of questionable calls or non-calls down the stretch. Like, I know they blew the whistle for Giannis pushing off of Tice and determining whether that was a foul, like hit him in the groin or not. And I thought, okay, it's at least going to be some foul. It might not be flagrant. They just didn't call a foul.
Yeah.
Like, how often is it that they blow the whistle and just say there's no foul?
Yeah, I know. I saw Jaylen Brown posting on his Instagram. It was like a meme of Giannis holding hands with the referee.
Yeah. Dude, he got, some people are saying he committed 8 fouls that game.
Jeez.
Total. Just, and then a lot were not called. Because by the time that he pushed off Tice, that was, he had 5 fouls. He would have been gone. And then who scores all the points down the stretch to win? Giannis. So the outcome could have been very different. But even if the Celtics did win that and Giannis was out, I would say still, okay, Giannis wasn't playing that last bit and Bledsoe wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way we're going to know if they're really the best team is if they meet up in the Eastern Conference Finals, which a lot of people are picking right now. I think the Heat, as much as we love them, they're 0-2 right now.
Yeah.
They've lost both their games. They could be playing better by that time, but we don't know. And the Sixers, I mean, they had TJ Warren drop, 53 on them?
Yeah, first 50 piece in the bubble.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to shit on TJ Warren. It's not like he's a fringe player on a roster or anything like that, but dude, come on, man.
Yeah, I've never seen someone with that low of name recognition have that good of a game.
Yeah,
you don't expect it from him because he hasn't done it typically.
No, it's really an outlier game for him. And Embiid played really well. He had like 41-21, but he disappears in the playoffs. So I can't really put faith in him either. The team that's been really surprising me and makes me think they could legitimately be a contender out of the East are the Raptors.
Yeah.
Because they handle the Lakers very easily. And then their latest game against the Heat, they had Van Vliet go off for like 36 points, something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Shooting like 7 for 12 from 3.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Van Vliet's a pretty good shooter anyway.
Yeah. So they could make another push without Kawhi. If they actually get it done again without Kawhi, that'd be pretty legendary.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I'm telling you, man, that's why Nick Nurse is going to be the coach of the year whenever they announce it.
Well, I think actually Budenholzer and I'm blanking right now, but someone else today, they announced that they were co-coaches of the year. But I don't know if it was if it's an official choice or not, but I did see that on my Twitter feed like this morning.
I'd have to check again because I feel like I would have seen it on Instagram or something from like ESPN. But even those guys wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Just I personally would pick Nurse because of how well they've adjusted. Another thing that we got to think about is the virtual fans and how much that really plays a role in the games. Because with the Rockets, they've been playing so great. But of course, the question is always going to come up. Harden and Russell Westbrook both have a history of disappearing or choking at really important moments in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good test to see whether it's based on the environment they're in or the situation they're in. Because environmentally, it gets better for them. You're not having fans sitting there and like literally yelling in their face. We don't know how much that gets to them. I'm sure it does to some extent. But is it a difference maker? I don't know. Because the situation doesn't change at all. It's win or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And a player in the playoffs is always going to have that in the back of their head. Like, I got to win this. I don't want to go home. I want to keep going on. My guess is that the situation is what gets them, especially in close games, crunch time, or game sevens even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
I don't know. I still think it's a concern, even though they've been playing great for two games. Both of them are really close, too. You know, we haven't seen them have a blowout. But then again, Mavericks and Bucks are both really great teams.
Yeah. Speaking of that Rockets-Bucks games, I saw this crazy stat that the Bucks are the first team in NBA history to lose when they scored over 110 points, held opponents' shooting percentage under 40%, and they had a rebound differential of 25-plus or greater. Like, those teams with those stats are 177 and now one because the Bucks lost last night.
I feel like if Giannis leaves Milwaukee, people won't even be mad at him for doing it, except if you're a Milwaukee fan.
I mean, he's got to get his bag.
Dude, yeah, he needs to get more money. Dude, okay, look, he's going to get so much damn money wherever the hell he goes. I don't even think he cares that much about the money. I think he cares more about winning personally, but if I were him, I'd leave Milwaukee when my contract's up.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee's a decent basketball town. But, I mean, if he goes to, like Miami, like we've mentioned, or, like, I don't know, like the Lakers or something crazy, like, or Golden State, shit. I mean, those are huge basketball towns, and they would greatly appreciate to have him in there.
Right. Right. I think based off of the stat and the record you just provided, that's really inexcusable.
Yeah.
So, and it's not even like they have a bad coach. Budenholzer's great. What's the issue?
I don't know.
Middleton is like, he's good, but he was like a fringe all-star, I feel like. You know, like, barely making it. He's playing great, but he's too streaky. And he disappears in the playoffs, historically. I think that Giannis needs someone with the playing caliber of like a Paul George next to him.
Yeah.
Not like a Chris Middleton.
He needs like a smaller person. Like, maybe even like a CP3. I feel like those two together would go pretty well. Like, any, like, small backcourt player, I feel like would do decent with him.
Yeah. I mean, even Giannis on the Thunder, like, okay, I still think they'd get better, you know, with Giannis, of course, and they could actually make something happen. Because, dude, like, I don't even, you know, the Thunder, like, the big names, obviously, right now are CP3, Shea, Steven Adams. Mm-hmm. You can easily just throw Giannis in there.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty solid, too. So, for the eighth place in the West, right now, it stands as Grizzlies, Spurs, Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Suns. Who do you have taking the 8th seed when it's all said and done?
Look, this is hard because the Grizzlies have a pretty fucked schedule coming up. I mean, it was going to be that hard anyway. I feel like the Pelicans have a pretty easy one in comparison, but they don't want to play Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs, man, they actually had a pretty good game yesterday. DeRozan plays better without the real fans, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fairly consistent. I mean, the Blazers, they really held their own against the Celtics, barely beating the Grizzlies. But they do kind of have a while to catch up, you know.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies have been playing tight.
Mm.
You know, they've been having close games, and I don't see every single game, you know, being lost when it's close. I think they're going to win a few close games. They're probably going to have, like, a loss from, like, a blowout. Maybe, like, one win from a blowout. But they only need to get a few more wins to get that spot. And the Pelicans have lost both games. The Blazers are 1-1 for their games. And I actually don't even remember how many of the Spurs have played at this moment. You know, it's either... I think it's just one, right?
They've played two, and they won both.
Right. It's the Blazers, and then... No. They didn't play... They played against... yesterday they played against the Grizzlies, right?
I have no idea who they've been playing.
They look better. They look better. It's just they have a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the Spurs to take the 8th seed. They're only two games back. They've won the first two games of the bubble so far. I mean, they got a pretty decent depth chart, so I'm going to take the Spurs to take the 8th seed.
Yeah, I could see it happening. I hope it happens. I mean, the Spurs are probably my favorite team of all the crowd, you know, and I'd love to see John Morant go to the playoffs as a rookie, like turning the Grizzlies around from 2 pick to 8 seed. That's pretty huge.
Yeah.
So that's I got to keep my eye on that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap this up, we need to talk about some of the greatest players to never win championships.
Yeah.
What comes to mind, or who comes to mind when you say that?
I think of Barry Sanders. Think of Barry Bonds, Randy Moss, Dan Marino, Kelvin Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Karl Malone.
Those are, yeah, that's very good, actually. Those are good names. I'm going to go with, yeah, Dan Marino comes to mind first, actually. I'm going to have to go with Steve Nash.
Mm.
Stockton, for sure, just because, of course, the Malone sidekick dynamic there, man. CP3, it's not looking so likely right now that he's going to finish with one.
Yeah.
But if that happens, yeah, CP3 is one of the best to never do it. Randy Moss, of course. Everyone thinks of Randy Moss, too.
I mean, shit, he was, what, number 2 in passing touchdowns and number 4 in receiving yards?
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah, I mean, with Barry, you know, never winning anything, but people still regarding him as one of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows you how good he really was, because people take rings and weigh them so much now when you assess a player. But with Barry, no one even says, oh, but he had no rings, because they just know he was that good.
Yeah.
You know? So, those guys for sure.
I mean, which one do you think got the closest? Like, which one do you, if you could guess, which one do you think got the closest?
Moss, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
Yeah.
The Giants-Patriots game.
Yeah, it was so close. And, of course, the helmet catch. You know, like, that's, it comes down to, like, luck at some points. It comes down to, like, just right place, right time. Very, very, like, what if, a big what if scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone either way at that point. But with Marino, he made it to a Super Bowl before. But I'm not really sure how close that Super Bowl was for the Dolphins.
They lost 38-16.
Yeah, so a pretty wide margin. As opposed to the Patriots, where it's, like, crunch time moments, you know?
Yeah. Crazy last minute, 2 minute drive.
Yeah.
One of the best plays in all of NFL history ever.
Yeah, that was insane. I think that it took me a while to get over it because nothing like had really gone our way after that until, of course, the Malcolm Butler moment. I was like, okay, that's pretty nice. And then the Falcons come back, that happened, and I was like, all right, that kind of like rules it out, I feel like. Like, I can get over it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think that if Kelvin Johnson would have played more than 8 years in the league, he would have either A, won a championship, or like considered like a Jerry Rice or Randy Moss or Fitzgerald? Like, do you think like he would be at those levels?
Yes, and that just shows you how bad the Lions are as an organization. I think if he played on any other team besides the Lions, it just would have been better. Like, it's probably the worst place for him to go. Man, if he ended up on the Packers or somewhere like that when Rodgers was just throwing bullets, okay, or like very accurate passes. Mm-hmm. He still is, but he was just insane back then. You're going to see a championship team for sure.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? As we talk about this list, like Charles Barkley, Stockton, and Malone all didn't win championships only because of MJ.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty luck for them, you know, because the only thing getting in their way was, you know, just like a generational player.
Yeah. And then Karl Malone went on like a ring chase with the 04 Lakers, and they still lost to the Pistons.
Yeah, that finals makes no sense, really, looking back at it. Like, I get it because Kobe and Shaq didn't know how to distribute the ball.
Yeah.
And it was an ego problem there. But the Pistons' defense was pretty insane. It wasn't even like a 7-game series. It was like 5 games.
I think it was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, like super not what you'd expect. I'm pretty sure most people had the Lakers winning going into that.
Yeah. And speaking of talking about Barry Bonds, like, yeah, he has like the number one home runs hit in the career with 762. For you, does that value have an asterisk because of like the whole juicing scandal or anything? Or do you still respect him as one of the best home run hitters, best players of all time in baseball?
He definitely has talent, for sure. The thing with juicing is you don't even know how much of a difference it really makes because I feel like it depends on the person. Because
mm-hmm.
like how much they juice versus how much work they put in, the combination of the two kind of affects the game. There is really still no absolute concrete evidence for Barry Bonds ever brought forward, even though like most people could assume that it was happening. And I mean, the Hall of Fame, obviously just assuming that it's happening. It's really too hard to tell with something like that. I do respect him, though. I don't think that breaking the rules is cool or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just not... I feel like Barry Bonds was just not even like being discreet about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously he's going to keep denying it, but, like, if people can tell, like, that easily, like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, true. So, for me, I have a few honorable mentions that I didn't really go, don't really want to go in detail, but Jerome Iginla played on the Calgary Flames for, like, forever. T-Mac, AI, and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, LT for sure. I mean, look, I sort of hold a grudge with Rivers because I'm like, dude, you can never carry the offense and get LT a ring. Obviously, yeah. I like LT because he's the greatest TCU football alum we've ever had. But, man, he could have had such a better career with a different team. Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, he still has the rushing touchdown record. I don't know if is it in the season or was it in a career?
It would have been season most likely because he was unstoppable, but... Yeah, LT for sure. And then with some of the other players that I'm thinking of now, like honorable mentions mm-hmm. and so forth, yeah, like AI is a good one for sure. T-Mac, I don't know what happens with him because when he was a star, let me just pull this up really quick. He was 13 and 22 as the most dominant player on the court whenever he played.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's like, he can't get out of the first round, really. Yeah. And he has like he had good teammates at certain points, you know, like he played
like Vince Carter.
With Vince, and he played with Yao, mm-hmm. who was like a cheat code at the time. So what happened? Was he ball hogging? I mean, from what I've seen in film, it's not like he was shooting like horribly.
Yeah.
I really can't explain it, really.
You have any other players?
Man, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't think of many more players. We've kind of talked about a lot of them, but there is a single player from the NFL who you would pick to be the next Dan Marino. Never won a ring or anything like that.
Right now?
Right now, currently on a roster, who would you pick?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the Dan Marino of our generation. He's going to do really well, but like, I mean, just like last playoffs, he got kicked out, what, in the divisional round or something? Like super, super early before like projections and stuff. So I think Lamar Jackson is just going to get there, but never actually get a ring.
My pick is Deshaun Watson, only if he stays with Bill O'Brien and only if he stays on the Texans.
Mm.
If he stays on the Texans with B.O.B., it's not going to work. The front office is going to have to change because they can build around him. He's easy to build around, too, which is why I don't understand how he's fucking it up so bad.
Yeah.
But different coach, they can make it work. Different team, even, would be great because the O-line is the big issue. Defense is a big issue on the Texans.
Yeah. This hurts me to say, but I also have another one. I think Kirk Cousins might be Dan Marino, too.
Unfortunately, man.
I mean, he's up there on, like, all of the top lists. For accuracy, for yards, for touchdowns. Like, he's up there. And, I mean, we'll see what happens this year. But, I mean, I'm always optimistic that the Vikes will win the Super Bowl. But it always seems to, like, hurt in the end anyway.
I could maybe see him winning one as, like, a backup on, like, a Super Bowl team. Like, when he's, like, really fucking old. I don't know. Like, maybe that. But, like, as a starter, that's the Vikings. They do their best building around the guy. But the problem is there's so many great teams right now.
Yeah. It's right now is a hard time to have someone like Kirk be the quarterback when there's all these new generation players that are just killing it with their teams.
Yeah, because Kirk is still very old school.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of these other quarterbacks. Like, even Watson. Watson used to be more mobile before, you know, the knee injuries, but he still can get around. Mahomes, of course, is just, you can do whatever with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson likes to run more than throw. And then Russell Wilson is like another Mahomes type of guy. He's very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk falls into that Brady, Manning, Rodgers type of play.
Yeah.
Where it's just drop back, throw, quick passes, long ass passes, all about the arm kind of, you know?
Dude, he's got this accuracy that's just unfathomable. It's ridiculous to watch sometimes.
It sucks, too, because he's never, like, okay, he has amazing games, but they're not on primetime.
Yeah.
And no one, just because no one watches those, like, only, like, Vikings fans, like, diehard fans of whatever team they're playing will watch him, of course. But majority of NFL fans do not realize how accurate he is,
mm-hmm.
which is just a damn shame.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but, you know, it's the way of the world.
I will tell you, though, after his game in Superdome, I mean, everyone was watching that game just because it was the rematch. Yeah. Like, I think some respect was put on his name after that one.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. He actually should have saved it for that.
Well, he did it a second time after the game. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like that. I like that. Him saying I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a baller move right there. But anyway, well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Go follow us on all our personal social medias. Follow us on Instagram at IntentionallyFollow. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Followed podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.